A thermostat sets the temperature where you want it to be, and then everything elevates to that temperature because of the thermostat that has been set there. Most people are thermometers. They just read the temperature. I don't like this. I don't like that. This is wrong. This is right. This is good. This is bad. They're just reading the temperature. God created us to set the temperature. That's what a thermostat does. Be a thermostat. Choose to be a thermostat, not a thermometer. Welcome to Think Like a Champion. This podcast is dedicated to helping you win in every way and enjoy every day, helping you win in every way. Now, before we dive in to today's content, thank you to everyone who's written a review or shared this podcast on social media. Please continue to expand our community of champions. Get this out to more people. Every time you post or leave a review, it really does make a difference in helping us reach more people. So thank you, and please keep on sharing. Now, today's content I simply called Going Big, Not Going Home, because we hear that all the time, go big or go home. Well, I want to show you how to go big. This is God's idea. Going big was God's idea. When we start thinking big like God thinks, we'll start living big like God lives. And one of the scriptures that really grabbed me in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, particularly in the Message translation, Paul the Apostle is writing to the Corinthians. Now, this is very spiritual, but it's very simple. And we need to understand that spiritual doesn't have to mean difficult or complicated, and spiritual doesn't mean that it's not practical also. It's very practical. It can be spiritual and practical. Dear Corinthians, he says, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide open, spacious life. He said, we didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. He says, I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. In other words, when you open your life up, when you open your eyes up, when you realize that you're not meant for small living, your lives aren't small. He says your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. Your life is not small, but you might be living it in a small way. I love what God says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Greater is he that is in you. There's a he inside of you. That he inside of you is the Holy Spirit. It's God living inside of you. But also that inner person. Greater is he that lives in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. In other words, it's referring to God who's in you. Greater is he. That means God is in you, but it also means you, the you in you, the God in you through the Holy Spirit and the you in you. That's greater than what's going on out here. And greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. The devil is the one that's in this world. Spiritual darkness is the one that's in this world. But there's a greater one living inside of you. The Holy Spirit and the best version of yourself lives inside of you. And we're just pulling it out, mining it out, pulling it out from within you. It's already in there. He said, your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. And the way we live our lives in a small way is by thinking small, by thinking that the way we grew up or the imagination we have right now of what our life could be is very small. You might be 40, 50, 60, 70 years old, and you say, I'm not going to look at, I've been small all my life. I've made a small amount of money. I've saved a small amount of money. I've accomplished a small number of things. It's too late for me now. It's never too late. Some of the greatest discoveries and some of the greatest success stories are people that were in their 50s, 60s, 70s, or 80s. One of the greatest miracles in the Bible is a man by the name of Abraham who is 99 years old, and his wife was 90 when they had their first child together. It might have seemed like it was going to be too late, but that's when they had Isaac, and Isaac led to Jacob, and Jacob then had the 12 tribes, the 12 sons, and Judah was one of those sons, and He became the ancestor of Jesus himself. When you think about it, everything starts out small, but we have to stop thinking small. No matter how we start out, that's not how we have to think. Well, I'll take you to a person in the Bible that is an example for me on how to think like a champion. And I love this short description of this man's life. I think God mentions this man two or three times in the Bible, two or three verses. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9. It says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother named him Jabez because I bore him with pain, she said. I bore him with pain. He brought pain when I gave birth to him. But it says, Jabez cried out to God in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel and said, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory and let your hand be with me and keep me from evil so that I will be free from pain. And he also was saying, so that I will not cause pain in others. Now, I love what the next part of this verse says, and then we'll break it down in simple steps you can take. It says, and God granted his request. I think it's really important that before we study someone, we have to see if they got what they were trying to get. Because before we're willing to follow them, we got to study and look at their life. And in this case, it would be one thing for us to read in the scripture that Jabez said, oh, Lord, bless me indeed. But then God spoke to him and said, you're being greedy. I'm not going to do it. But that's not what the Bible says. That's not what God said to him. Look at what it says. He said, Lord, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from evil so that I might be free from pain and not cause pain. And God granted his request. So if God granted his request, we can take hope and live optimistic lives, faith-filled, positive lives, knowing that if God granted his request, he will grant ours. The problem is we're not making our request known to God. The Bible says only when you make your request known to God can the peace of God surround your heart and guard your mind in Christ Jesus. You'll remain in anxiety unless you make your request known to God. If you make your request known to God, he will grant your request, and he will certainly grant you peace along the way, as Philippians chapter 4 promises us. And I found that in anxiety, anxious living comes from anxious thinking, and anxious thinking comes from keeping it to myself with my unspoken prayer, my unspoken desire, my unspoken frustration. This leads to anxiety. My unspoken fear or idiosyncrasy or my unspoken insecurity, if you take those things to God and request his help, he will grant you your request. You see, you stop living anxious when you start taking these things to God and making requests to him about the things he promised he would do in our lives. He promised that if he did this for one person, he would do it for another. So God doesn't pick and choose. One person he'll bless and one person he'll curse. God is willing to give to anyone who asks. He's got enough for all of us to live big and to go big. Well, anyway, let's break this down. Since God granted his request, let's see what he asked for and let's see what it means. So in verse 9, it says he was more honorable than his brothers. This is what made Jabez a champion. He was elevated. He rose above his natural limitations. He rose above his pain. He rose above his human capacity. His life counted for something greater than the ground he came from. That's honor. You see, him and all of his brothers, it says he was more honorable than his brothers. Notice something about brothers. Brothers or sisters, they all came from the same parents. So when one person succeeds and one person fails, it's not because of their parents. Because if it was, then both of them should succeed or both of them should fail. All of them should succeed or all of them should fail. But that's not the case because they're personal choices that must be made for us to get in alignment with God's purpose for our lives, get in alignment with what has been prepared for you, get in alignment with your higher self, your deeper self, your truer self in Christ, dying to yourself of self and arising to the person that God created you to be. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. We're not trying to die to the new creature. We're trying to die to the old creature and live from the overflow of the new creature inside of us, or the new creation inside of us, that champion inside of us. Notice that to be more honorable than his brothers means he had to make choices that distinguished him from his brothers. There are choices that we have to make. We can remain victims. We can remain defeated. We can remain negative. What if our family was all negative growing up? Change it by becoming positive, becoming full of faith. What if I grew up with everybody speaking down at me? Start speaking up at you. Start speaking up to other people. Start speaking forth faith. Start speaking life. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. He's saying it goes both ways. It works both ways. You can bring death with your tongue. You can bring life with your tongue. You can say, I'll never amount to anything. Guess what? You're bringing death to you amounting to something. I'll never get past this mistake. I'll never get past what that person did to me. You are speaking death over your life. You're speaking death over your success. You're speaking death over your promotion. You're speaking death over the greater season that God has for your life. What made him more honorable was that he chose not to be a byproduct of his environment. He chose not to remain in pain. He chose to be humble. Honor starts with humility. Proverbs 18:12 says, before honor comes, first comes humility. So what caused God to honor this man? What made him a more honorable man? He was humble. He was willing to make a distinction, to distinguish himself among his brothers. They tell us all the time in social media, if you want to succeed at social media, you have to do something that distinguishes you from other people. I'm not here to encourage success in social media. I'm here to encourage your success and the gospel being preached. The greatest cause of life is the preaching of the gospel. Mastering yourself, mastering your money, mastering your mission, these are things that everybody needs to realize will produce true success. And that was God's idea. It wasn't some social media influencer's idea. It was God's idea. He chose to distinguish himself. He chose, I'm not going to remain like the way I grew up. I'm not going to be a byproduct of my situation or of my upbringing. Look, maybe they grew up in a drug-infested community. Maybe they grew up in a community where there was where there was just always jealousy and negativity and insecurity and anxiety and depression. Regardless, he chose that he wasn't going to be a byproduct of his environment. To be a champion, you got to choose that you will not. You have to make a choice. I will not be a byproduct of my environment. I will shift my environment. I will change the environment by shifting the thermostat inside of me. See, you can either be a thermostat or you can be a thermometer. A thermometer just reads the room and tells you what the temperature is. A thermostat sets the temperature where you want it to be, and then everything elevates to that temperature because of the thermostat that has been set there. Most people are thermometers. They just read the temperature. I don't like this. I don't like that. This is wrong. This is right. This is good. This is bad. They're just reading the temperature. God created us to set the temperature. That's what a thermostat does. Be a thermostat. Choose to be a thermostat, not a thermometer. Secondly, the thing about Jabez in this passage, that what made him come out, what caused him to break out of this small life, this painful life, this painful existence? Well, the Bible says that he refused to allow his pain to define him. He didn't allow his pain to define him. He didn't allow his pain to make him a victim. What did he do about it? He rose above it. He went to God. He didn't stay in that same condition. When things happen in a way that you didn't want or hope for, you have to make a decision that elevates you. You have to let the negative thing that happened to you, let it make you better. Don't let it make you bitter. Let it make you better. He had pain, but he refused to allow his pain to define him or his pain to limit him. Now listen, we all know what it's like to hurt, right? We all know what it's like to have pain. We all know what it's like to suffer. Everybody, every one of us has experienced it. We all know what it's like, the pain of betrayal, the pain of being hurt by others, the pain of being taken advantage of, abused, the pain of disappointment, the pain of feeling useless or underutilized or underappreciated. If you blame that pain, if you define yourself by that pain, you'll never rise. But if you recognize the pain, but live beyond it, choose, you've already endured the pain, you might as well endure what's on the other side of that pain. You've already lived with pain, you might as well pass through it and get to the other side. Jabez refused to be defined by what his mother called him. His mother named him Pain. The name Jabez means pain. She defined him by the pain she experienced. She named him based on the pain that she experienced. But he refused to be defined by his pain. He refused to be defined by his past. He refused to be defined by his peers. If we just stopped for a moment and thought about those three things that he refused to be defined by, if you will refuse to be defined by your pain, in other words, I'm not going to let this pain limit me. I'm not going to let this pain have the last word. I'm not going to identify with this pain. I'm going to appreciate that it happened, but it's going to work for my advantage rather than my disadvantage. He refused to be defined by his pain. He refused to be defined by his past. He's like, she might have called me pain, but I'm not going to call myself that. I'm crying out to God. And he refused to be defined by his peers, his brothers. They settled for whatever they settled for, but he was more honorable than them. And what made him distinct, what will distinguish you from anybody else in your life? Cry out to God. He cried out to God. You know, crying out to God doesn't just mean throwing a prayer up here or there. Crying out to God seems to me like it is a all-in emotional appeal to God. Crying out to God is not just asking him to bless you. Crying out to God is a cry from the deepest part of you. It's emotional. It's passionate. It's determined. It's not going to be silenced. He cried out to God to break out of his pain and limitations. I got to tell you something about this word pain in the Bible. Because the word pain comes from the same Hebrew word that we get the word limitation from. So we could say that the word pain and the word limitation, they mean the same thing. They both come from the same Hebrew word. So why is it that sometimes the word is translated as pain and sometimes it's translated as limitation? Because to God, it's the same thing. If you allow yourself to be defined by your pain, you will limit yourself. And when you limit yourself, you are inviting pain. Limitations that restrict you from breaking through the glass ceiling, breaking through your barriers, breaking through your generational curses, the things that are limiting you will bring you pain if you allow them to contain you and if you allow them to restrict you. But when you break out of those limitations, you will break out of your pain. The limitations will no longer cause you pain, and the pain will no longer limit you. The way to get out of this vicious cycle is by doing what he did. He went up. He cried out. Crying out to God is not on the inside. Crying out to God happens on the outside. Like, it starts on the inside, but it shows up on the outside. That's why silent prayer is okay as a meditation, as something to think on. But declaring that prayer, praying it out loud, putting words and sentences together in talking to God, it will change your life. Crying out to God and lifting your voice higher than the voice of your pain, the voice of your name, Jabez, the pain, the past, the footprint that everybody thinks you're going to make, the footprint that the DNA that this world says, this is who you are, this is what you are. We have to break out of that. He went to God about it. You're not going to discover yourself by going to a DNA company that tells you who your relatives were. That's not going to break you out. That's only going to cement you in being like them. Instead, cry out to God. Break out of your pain by saying, I refuse to to be limited by the pain that I've endured. My pain is going to power me through the limitations. My pain is not going to limit me. I'm going to break out by crying out to God. You might think, well, that can I cry out to God and he'll heal my body? Try it. Can I cry out to God and he'll give me an idea or an invention that'll make me help me become successful? Try it. Cry out to God to break out of whatever it is that's limiting you. Whether it's your past, whether it's your peers, whether it's your pride, got to break out of that pride by crying out to God. You know, as we begin to put some parentheses around this or put some punctuation to this, I want you to know that if you'll make up your mind that I'm not going to be limited by my past pain, I'm not going to be limited by what people do to me. I refuse to be defined by what my mother called me. Jabez means pain, a constant reminder of his failures, a constant reminder of the heartache that he brought to her. He refused to be defined by his pain, his past, or his peers. He cried out to God to break out of his pain and limitations. He saw the bigger picture, and he wanted God to do more than just heal him, but he wanted God to enlarge him so that God could use him more. He said, oh God, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. Give me more ground. Give me more territory. Give me more land. Give me more dominion. He wanted to enlarge himself. Just being healed of the pain isn't enough. If you want to be a champion, you have to ask God to do more in your life than just you barely making it. You just barely getting healthy or barely recovering from this disease or this sickness or this poverty or this lack. He wasn't afraid to go bold with God. God, bless me indeed. Enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me. Boy, there's something about God's hand. He said, God, that your hand would be with me. You know, when I think of the hand of God, I think of the hand of protection. I think of the hand of provision. From God's hand comes protection. He covers us. From God's hand comes provision. He supplies us. From God's hand comes power. He empowers us. From God's hand comes promotion. The Bible says promotion doesn't come from the north or the south, but it comes from the Lord. It comes from God. Ask God to promote you. Promotion isn't just at your job. Ask God to promote you out of your past, promote you out of your limitation, promote you out of your pain, promote you out of your fear, promote you out of your ideas into his ideas. What if you just asked him that today? Your life would start changing and you stay on that until it starts showing up. Well, there's something very powerful about asking God to enlarge your territory. Enlarge my territory, expand my impact, expand my property holdings. You know, maybe you rent an apartment and God wants to give you the apartment building. And we need to start thinking like that. You think about 10 people paying the rent that you're paying and they're paying it to you. Yeah, you have to hire somebody to manage and maintain that property, but or maybe you're good at it. But either way, go bold. Be bold. Go big. Ask big. Enlarge my territory. Think about these four things he prayed. Oh God, that you would bless me indeed, that you would enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, the hand of purpose, the hand of power, the hand of protection, the hand of provision, the hand of promotion. That's the hand of God. And then that I might not cause pain in others. So he wants to be used by God in a greater way. When he says that I might not cause pain, he wants to be used to help others. He saw his life calling was to heal others. Boy, this is the beautiful part of this verse I love, that he asked these things. And God didn't say, it doesn't say God gave him one of these four requests. God gave him two of these four requests, three of these. God granted his request. The whole thing together was Jabez's request. And the whole thing together is what God gave him. And he'll give it to you. Let's pray for that. What if we just prayed this together? Let me lead you in this going big, breaking out of our limitations kind of prayer, okay? Let's pray this together out loud. Just say, in the name of Jesus, I cry out to God today. Bless me indeed. Break me out of how I grew up. Break me out of my limitations. Break me out. Come on, pray that. Heavenly Father, break me out of my pain in the name of Jesus. Lord, enlarge my impact. Pray that. God, enlarge my impact. Enlarge my territory. Give me more land. Give me more property. Give me more businesses. Give me more increase. Give me more of your power. And let your hand be upon me. Say this out loud. Pray this out loud. Heavenly Father, I receive your hand of provision. I receive your hand of protection. I receive your hand of power. I receive your hand of promotion. I receive your hand of purpose. Pray that out loud in the name of Jesus and pray, oh God, that you would use me to not cause pain, but to break other people out of their pain. God, use me to break other people out of their pain. Pray that. God, use me to break other people out of their pain. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in verse 10, it says God granted his request. So claim and take verse 10 as it's yours. And God granted your request. He's granting my request. It'll come maybe today you'll start seeing something. Maybe in a week you'll start seeing something. Maybe you'll start seeing something. But just pray this prayer for the rest of this month. Lord, bless me indeed like you did Jabez. Enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me. Keep me from evil that I might cause healing and not cause pain. You're going to change the world. Praying that prayer, you will change the world. Write it down, jot it down, tune in next time, replay it, but get this, pray this, expect God to grant what you just requested. All right, we're out of time. Thanks for joining me on Think Like a Champion. Share this with someone who needs to hear it. Subscribe to the podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. And thank you for those of you who give. You can go to lifechangerschurch.com/give and pay it forward. Help somebody else. Help us to get this message out to somebody else. Build this community of champions. Let's build it together. lifechangerschurch.com/give. Every gift counts. Every gift matters. Every gift makes a difference. So I appreciate you doing that. And thank you for those who already have. And until next time, you are a champion. So start thinking like one. Amen. I'll see you on our next podcast. God bless.